44, but woman, I ain't gonna let that happen to me no more. 'Cause I need the child, oh yes I am, and I'm afraid of five, and so am I. I took the girl in, treat her like a queen, but I don't see why she creeps me so mean. 'Cause honey, the child, oh yes, oh, yeah, I am, and I'm afraid of fire. If you didn't want me, baby, well, why didn't you dog my heart around? Told me, baby, you know how to walk right on out of your town. You can't fat cotton,
no, no,
back together corner. You can't take right and make it wrong. 'Cause honey, the child,
oh yes,
oh
son,
yeah, son is afraid of fire. All right. Child,
yes,
oh yeah, and I'm afraid of fire. Well, I know I'm getting old, just can't hardly see, but woman, I ain't gonna let that happen to me. 'Cause I need the child,
oh,
oh
yes,
yeah, and I'm afraid of fire.
So, okay, so Jeff Bridges is Lear in The Last Unicorn, right? Which literally means the sea. And then Mia Farrow's character, which is the foster mother of Zeus. Mia Farrow is obviously Rosemary, but Rosemary is due with the sea. I actually talk about this in my sync book chapter. But what I don't mention is that if, you know, because it's due of the sea, and then the unicorns in The Last Unicorn are actually literally the due of the sea, the sea is Lear, is Jeff Bridges. And so if you take that and then you look at it through the lens of Tron, right, where he doubles himself and all of that, you can kind of go to some interesting territory. Just saying.
This is such a bizarre little pocket tangent, but remember Tron Legacy, the sequel?
Mm-hmm. Never saw
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no, I liked it. I saw it in 3D in the Castro.
What I loved, one thing I loved about Tron Legacy was that they used 2D and 3D in that movie, which I thought was, you know, they didn't really execute it to the degree that I wish they had, but it was a nice attempt. But I remember seeing Inception and having a very strong, I have like a perfect sync with the first side of Metal with the last part of Inception. I mean, it's just dead on. And it links perfectly to Jupiter and Beyond the Infinite. Anyways, Neo. I remember when the actor who plays the son of the Hitler-esque guy dying at the end of that movie, like the brain that they're essentially incepting, what's his name? Actor. He plays the Scarecrow in Batman. He's
What's his face?
Cillian
Murphy.
Cillian Murphy.
So Cillian Murphy is in Inception, and he goes into that scene in Inception to see his father in that vault, and it's like in this sort of Tron-esque Tetris-like vault.
Yes.
And I remember saying to myself, Cillian Murphy is going to be in Tron Legacy. He just has to be. He's just completely locked in. And when I go see Tron Legacy, he has an uncredited cameo some sort of boardroom scene in Tron Legacy. And I remember seeing that in the theater, and my mind just completely just sort of like disassociating completely from any attempt to try to make sense of it. Because it was like, the fact that it was uncredited, the fact that it wasn't I don't know what to make of
it. That. Wasn't highlighted.
It wasn't highlighted, but it was.
It's like they almost. It had to be slipped in there.
And it was. It has to have some
significance.
Some embedded is the intent. No, just the intent. When you get to like the significance of things, but then you borderline on that. Is it intended or is it, you know, non-local? But it
Did
was
you just say significant?
Yes.
Love it.
So, but it has to be intended. There was intent there, and I couldn't
all
stomach
of this,
the
well,
journey
you,
to
you
make
will,
it intent.
Well, I don't know, man. Like Captain Leo Davidson is Marky Mark's name in Planet of the Apes.
Right. Yeah, so that's the thing. He's Beast. Leo. Yep.
Leo. It all's totally. Like locate. And everybody, also, I have to give credit to Jake Kotz on this. Almost all of the people involved with the Terminator series are Leos.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Like the director, everybody is just a Leo. Like the whole movie is scattered with Leos. I don't pay too much attention to birth dates, but it's interesting because Leonardo DiCaprio stuff is all centered around this Beauty and the Beast theme too.
And of course, the guy who did Terminator also did Titanic.
Right. And
yeah,
then
that's
also,
obvious.
Of course, like yeah.
So that like Leo, right? You go from Leo from one to the other.
But of course, Cillian Murphy also he plays an In Time with Cillian Murphy is the timekeeper in In Time, which has Olivia Wilde from Tron as well. Olivia Wilde is Timberlake's, and of course Timberlake plays in In Time, and he also plays in. Anyways, I'm digressing. Anyways, back on track. So we have. Cillian Murphy also plays in Peacock with Juno, Ellen Page, who's also in Inception. But he's also plays in the movie Sun, where he has to deal with this timekeeper thing. He's in.
Is he the hero in Sun, or is he the enemy? I forget.
I don't. It's been probably over a decade since I've seen that movie. I just all
Bill,
just associate it with the Sun overall.
Villains. You got to go back to your strobe light.
He plays Crane in the Batman series where he's the Scarecrow.
Well, that's what we're saying is the Scarecrow, and that's of course again Oz, Scarecrow and the Tin Man, and
hey, you know what? It struck me when you were talking about Oz and everything, or 007, because 77 is Oz, right? Or the strength card?
Yeah, exactly.
Right,
exactly.
So you have
The word the Hebrew
you have
word
Franco.
Oz. The Hebrew word
Franco,
Oz means strength.
Right,
and,
Franco is in Planet of the Apes, but he's also Oz in the Spider-Man series. He's also Oz in the new Raimi's Oz movies. But he's also in that 1-2-7 movie. You said Building 1, 2, and 7 went down, and so he's got this strong Beast 7-7. It all links that together. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
I was thinking about this again today. Is right? You have James Franco. So do you know where I am? Actually, what's really weird is that James Franco. That's his name, right? James Franco.
Yep.
Am I saying that right? He lives like right near me.
What?
Apparently, he goes to college like down the road.
Oh, in your new place?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Oh, whatever the fuck
okay.
that means. I don't know.
Okay, so I'm
have him
checking
on the show
out. I'm checking out Cillian Murphy right now. Cillian Murphy is rumored to be involved with an untitled Tron Legacy sequel, where he's Edward Dillinger. He is uncredited in Tron Legacy as Edward Dillinger. He's in the movie In Time. His name is Raymond Leon. So you have the sun reference again in Rain.
The Rain, ray of
the ray
Leo
of Leo.
Sun.
And Inception, his name is Robert Fisher.
Oh, so he's the Fisher King, which is your
he's
son.
He's the Fisher King. Right. In the Dark Knight series, he's the Dr. Crane or Dr. J.C. So he has
what's
the...
What's his first name? What's Crane's first name?
John or... I don't
oh,
know.
Oh, Jonathan
it say
Crane?
It. Jonathan Crane. Yeah, Dr. Jonathan Crane, J.C., Scarecrow. Scarecrow is definitely he's crucified.
A crane
just
brings
like,
down
like,
buildings too. Remember?
Absolutely. Oh, nice. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's in the movie Sunshine as Robert
and
Kappa.
Kung Fu Panda does the crane technique. No, I don't know.
Jesus.
I was thinking it, but I didn't know how.
The House of Cards just collapsed.
Diamonds was the only one to stay up.
28 days later, he's Jim. 28 days later would insinuate the cycle of the moon.
Yes.
Totally.
Has anyone ever seen the Leonardo DiCaprio Man in the Iron Mask?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah,
it's interesting because there's this whole beast thing. We're talking about the son of the beast because Leonardo DiCaprio is totally he's kidnapped by Men in Black in this movie, and his father ends up being Gabriel Burns. And if you remember, Gabriel Burns is the devil who's trying to have the moon child in the movie End of Days.
Oh,
wait,
God.
Are you talking about in Man the Iron Mask, the musketeer who turns out to be his father?
Is Gabriel Burns.
Is the fucking devil from End of Days? Are you kidding me?
Is the devil? No, I'm dead serious.
That's fucked up, man. Really?
Dude, it's totally fucked up.
Because check it out. In,
this goes so deep,
dude,
it's stupid.
In,
like, I became
in that movie, listen, in Man in the Iron Mask, it's like the symbolism was like beating me over the head. It's like so obvious is... You have the bad King Leo is like all about the sun. And then when you meet the man in the iron mask, he's constantly, he like writes out the word Luna, Luna, and he keeps staring at the moon. And they're like, what are you staring at? And he's like, I'm just looking at the moon. So it's like,
right.
You have the one brother is the sun and the other one is the moon. And what right. they end up doing is overthrowing the sun king and replacing him with the moon child.
King. The 28 days
child.
Later.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Here comes the Sun King.
Yeah.
It's
God.
Weird because, Leonardo DiCaprio is King Louis. He's King.
Oh,
Leonardo
really?
Is King Louis in. He's King Louis in The Man in the Iron Mask,
yeah.
Which is who previously owned the heart of the ocean in Titanic.
Ah, fuck.
Right.
Weird.
It's fucked up.
But, yeah, especially with the Titans. So what was the deal with the Titans? When they fall, but they... What are they... Oh, I can't remember how that related to the sun, but it does.
You do realize that End of Days, if End of Days is the modern Rosemary's Baby, then being the devil in End of Days, being that guy's child would make you the moon child.
Right.
And in A Man in the Iron Mask...
Right.
He is literally the moon child. There's like the sun child and the moon child.
And
they
don't forget. Don't forget all
junior,
of the stuff that I did, like contributing Leo to 007. Leo is basically he's 007. He's the strength card. And then you have all of these interesting characters, bottom line, that, I mean, you have. So Leonardo DiCaprio, Aramis is Jeremy Irons, who's best known for Scar, or the guy who kills the Lion King. John Malkovich is Athos, who's, you know, John Malkovich 23 and all kinds of crazy nonsense. Porthos is that French guy.
Wait, go back to Jeremy Irons, because Man in the Iron Mask, Jeremy
right.
Irons.
Of course.
Yeah, and there's your Saturn connection. David, you're looking for the Titan. There he is.
Yeah. Whoa.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's lead. Iron is Mars. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, lead is Saturn.
I apologize, yeah.
But
so.
But still, whatever. I mean...
It still works shit.
However we slice this pizza, it's still going to be pan pizza. See, that's what I'm saying.
It's bananas.
Oh,
I like Gabriel Burns because he was also in that movie Cool World. Have you guys ever seen that?
That's a deep cut.
Where he fucks Kent Basinger. It's funny because I always say like
it's
hell.
It's the adult version of Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Right. It's exactly what it is. But it has to deal with, you know, this guy fucking a cartoon into life. So, well, basically,
it's sigil magic, isn't it?
Well, it's the same thing. It's the moon child again. Because Gabrielle Burns is the devil who fucks the moon child and by Robin Tunney through End of Days. But he also does the same thing to Kim Basinger in Cool World. Like, he is the creator of the comic and then fucks Kim Basinger. And because he fucks Kim Basinger, she's able to walk into the real world. So it's this whole hell as the cartoon realm of the unreal. The same thing that Joe Alexander goes off about. And, for that matter, Violator from the Stygian port. But it connects that cartoon fake realm to hell through Gabrielle Burns.
Well, isn't it sort of like stealing that whole idea of when there's a kind of creative drive that you steal from a source that is that whole Grant Morrison, that it starts to come true, right?
Oh, yeah.
If you're
not
prepared, if you really don't know what you're doing and you really don't know why you're doing it, but you're tapped into this projective magic, and then you start compartmentalizing it into fiction, and then you run with it, you end up just sort of detailing your own demise. And you better be on top of your shit to be able to work your way out of it. And that is, therein lies the danger of the novice magician, right? I mean, I don't know how I stumbled into that thread, but that's what immediately made me think of with the Cool World thing, is that it's excitement and it's novelty and it's escapism, but ultimately you're doing something very real. And Cool World is the Ralph Bakshi guy, right? He is Fritz the Cat, right? The first pornographic cartoon.
Mm.
Yeah, you're
right. He also did the Lord of the Rings thing, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Which is creeped me out. I think I saw 10 seconds of it. 10 seconds of it as a 7-year-old, and I was like, I don't ever want to have anything to do with Lord of the Rings.
Hey,
that shit was awesome. I watched that thing 100 times when I was a kid. And you know what's also interesting is because it kind of that style of drawing over real frames kind of led to the whole Scanner Darkly thing.
Yeah, and Philip K. Dick. And that was Fire and Ice, the Frank Frazetta thing too, right? That same guy.
Yes, he did.
So you guys, did you see Julie Brown is the baby from Junior? Do they show her, like, grown up later in it? I just looked that up, and I was like, what the fuck?
Downtown Julie Brown?
American Pop, Julie... Fire and Ice. I knew what American Pop was. I didn't know it was called Fire and Ice.
Yeah.
That's significant for me, because that hovers around this whole Beauty and the Beast thing, too.
So Schwarzenegger's baby in Junior, is her name literally means Child of Jupiter. And her last name is Brown, like Doc Brown.
Wait. Why the fuck are you fucking with me? You just said, right when my eyes passed over Arnold Schwarzenegger on the Fire and Ice passage in American Pop, by 1982, fantasy films such as Beastmaster and Conan the Barbarian had proven successful at the box office. The Bakshi wanted to work with his long-term friend and fantasy illustrator Frank Frazetta. Fire and Ice was financed by some of American Pop's investors for $1.2 million. Fire and Ice was the most action-oriented stop motion, blah, 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 blah. What does this have to do with Arnold Schwarzenegger's appearance in Conan?
I'll tell you what it has to do with. It has to do with Frank Frazetta did, like, all the original Conan covers for the novels.
Well, it's weird because we were talking about earlier with all the... it says Philip K. Dick right here. Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep? The same guy tried to do a Philip K. Dick thing.
Oh, really? So Blade Runner cartoon or something? What the fuck?
After production of Fire and Ice wrapped, Brzezinski attempted several projects that fell through, including adaptations of Hunter S. Thompson's Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, William Kotzwinkel's The Fan Man, Eric Rucker's Edison's The Worm Ouroboros, Stephen Crane's Maggie, A Girl of the Streets, Mickey Spillane's Mike Hammer novels, and an anthropomorphic depiction of Sherlock Holmes. He turned down offers to direct Ray Bradbury's Something Wicked This Way Comes and Philip K. Dick's Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep?
Which is
he passed the later to Ridley Scott, who adapted it to 1982's Blade Runner. But he also had to do with the... Because Arnold has to do all with fire and ice for some reason. That's so weird that all of these things
are linked together.
This shit is fucking thick as hell.
Fire and ice is the red and blue. It is the two pillars. But then even... Because I was thinking even Cool World brings us back to that sort of cold and ice. The cool world of non-moving... Yeah,
and then
well, the
our
cool
world,
world
being hot.
The cool world of animation is the cooling down of print, right?
Right. It's cold. It's not warm. It's not a friction based. It's not.
Animation,
there's no friction.
And animation is known as cells, right? Right. You use animation cells, so you have
That's
your sort of black iron prison and all that sort of stuff.
That's brilliant. So you get a stasis world with unlimited physics. Or you get a hot world with laws.
Hmm.
With Jude laws.
Have you tried the chicken salad sandwich?
No mayo.
Everything here is special.
I eat tofu tuna. This can't be the same Julie Brown. Have you guys actually seen Junior? Because I haven't seen that since it first came out.
There's no way. She's too old to have to be the baby in Junior.
It's just when you click on the link on Wikipedia where it says as the baby under Junior, it says Julie Brown. You click on the link and it goes to that woman.
That's
which is weird because that woman then is... she was close with Lily Tomlin because she was in The Incredible Shrinking Woman, which is the total King Kong parallel where the monkey's holding fucking Lily Tomlin, who's the other detective in Huckabee's.
And this chick is the redhead, the Babylonian.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
It's so, interesting because to bring it full circle, the person in Junior who he has the baby with is Emma Thompson from Natty McPhee's and The Big Bang.
Nah. Well, that's The Big Bang is what produced the moon child, right?
Right.
Exactly, yeah.
What produced the moon is what produced her child.
Wow.
Weird. Huh. And so when you read the Moonchild book by Crowley, it's all about the rivaling of the White Brotherhood and the Black Lodge, which is a reflection of the Red Lodge and the Blue Lodge.
Mm. Right, and it also has to do with the whole theory of the Moonchild is explicitly said that it relies on the homunculus theory of actually putting something into a stasis or frozen. This is filling soul into a hollow container, is what they're trying to do, because they're trying to the whole golem thing of creating a clay figure. The whole thing about a moon child is creating a space for a certain soul to fill. Like they make that point the whole time where they're talking about. So that's what it has to do with Arnold and Terminator and the Jesus baby and End of Days and Junior and. Wrapped up in, and even twins, it's all wrapped up into one little single theorem.
Oh wow, I just had a crazy little thing. Okay, so the sequel, or it's not really the sequel to Fear and Loathing, but the follow-up to Fear and Loathing with Johnny Depp, The Rum Diary, which is supposed to be Hunter S. Thompson, right? If you watch it, there's this. Have you guys seen that? You know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about, but I haven't seen it.
Agreed.
Okay, they're trying to build these giant hotels on this island. And when they show you the model of the hotels, one is red and one is blue. And Johnny Depp asks, why is one red and one blue? And he goes, oh, well, this is for the investors and this is for everyone else. But then when you watch later in the film, when they release these two roosters.
What is this again? What is this?
This is the Rum Diary. And so when they release these two roosters to fight, two cages drop from the ceiling, and one is red and one is blue, and they come after each other. But the rooster who wins, which is the one that the voodoo women like gave a positive curse on or whatever to like basically be able to destroy everything else, it's called El Monstro. And so when you look at like the idea of the you know fame monster being Lady Babylon, right? It's kind of very fitting. I don't know.
I'm curious what color rooster did one.
I think it may. I can't remember.
That's insane.
I should watch that again and find out. But yeah, no, it is
I have
pretty,
never like, seen it. For some reason, I've never watched it, but it's got Aaron Eckhart, who kind of skims the top of these things as well.
Oh, well, really?
He's Two-Face. He's Two-Face.
Right. He's Two-Face.
That was a thing.
And he's in Paycheck.
He is the split man. He's the two pillars put together. He's
totally.
Severity and Mercy. He is right. The two pillars.
Yeah.
Nice.
Whoa. And so he has a massive breakdown in the film. So like his whole world falls apart because he loses his woman. So you could take that as him losing his Shakina, right? And
but,
so then,
but
which it's also wait, interesting wait, because wait, in the wait, Black wait, Dahlia, wait a second, because in the Black Dahlia, Aaron Eckhart. I'm sorry. What were you saying?
No, you got it. It's all right. Go ahead.
In the Black Dahlia, Aaron Eckhart plays with Josh Hartnett as Mr. Fire and Mr. Ice.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
So check this out. When we were talking about Two-Face, I was thinking, do you know they used to do those like sort of classic, the way they designed the Two-Face character is a very classic like costume of someone being like half man, half woman?
Yeah.
It's very obviously based on that sort of thing that's been done many times where someone is made up to look like a woman on one side and a man on the other side with like striped right down the middle. So here I'm thinking he is the alchemical marriage, right? He's half man, half woman. But then, David, as I'm thinking this, you say he's all upset because he lost his woman. So this idea is that he lost his woman and now she's turned into the monster.
Right. I love it.
So that half of him that was the woman is now the half of him that is the monster.
It's fucked up because in the Black Dahlia, the Dahlia, the person who Eckhart becomes obsessed with, the murderer, is a Gaslow grin. She's cut with her lips like the Joker.
Mm. Yeah, Jason's pointed that out.
Right, he's the one who told me, but it's significant to me.
Absolutely.
But you have the fire and the ice. Because I don't know if you guys have seen the new Conan. I was following this because of my work with Rose McGowan. And these three movies that I watched in order have nothing to do with each other than Rose McGowan. Rose McGowan is in the Black Dahlia, but only for a little bit. She's dressed as Cleopatra. She's the actress that they're asking about the Dahlia. And so she's interviewed with Mr. Fire and Ice. In the new Conan, she plays Marquette or something like that is her name. She's trying to resurrect her dead mother. Her whole library has a lot to do with resurrecting the dead. But that's digression. She's in there, and a part of that movie that has nothing to do with her, it has to do with Conan's dad, who is Ron Perlman, a.k.a. Hellboy, or the Beast.
Totally.
And get this, my mom taught me onto this one. There's wagon wheels. Conan is born on a wagon wheel. And then when they're about to kill the girl.
That's the wheel. That's the wheel.
The wheel of fortune or the Ferris wheel.
The wheel
comes up in that movie. If you watch the new Conan, the wheel comes up over and over and over again. Like they put the dead version on this wheel. They try to sacrifice her on this big like wagon wheel.
Yeah, that's called a breaking wheel or a Catherine wheel. It's so named for they call it a Catherine wheel for Saint Catherine. But Christopher Knowles has made the point that the name Catherine is actually a modernized version of Hathor. So we have this again. We have like Anne Hathaway is
Catwoman
and all this sort of stuff, or Catherine. It's just all fucking in there. And so, just to make the point, this is something where I've been trying to stress the idea of this wheel in all these sort of events, these King Kill events, and it sounds really fucking abstract. But then, the day the Pope resigns, right, what is the Google Doodle? I hate saying that phrase, Google Doodle, but how many millions and millions of people around the world are having, it's basically the collective unconscious is getting bombarded with whatever Google picks to be their image for the day, right?
Sure.
the day the fucking Pope resigns, the Google Doodle is a Ferris wheel. It turns out it's the anniversary. It's like the birthday of the guy who invented the Ferris wheel. So,
God. Wasn't that Bueller? What the, no, sorry.
Save Ferris. Exactly. Save Ferris.
Okay. It was like log Matthew Broderick behind, because I got something on him too here soon. But because he's in Planet X, where Ferris Bueller teaches the monkeys to fly and Project X.
Yeah.
The X
Wheel. Totally.
Oh, Oz. And he's also the intermediary between Lady Hawk and the wolf in the day and night, a chemical marriage. He's the intermediary.
In
Lady Hawk.
It carried it further, and when I watched Rose McGowan in Death Proof with Kurt Russell, who I associate with Iceman because of the movie The Thing, everything is comes out of the ice. But in that movie, Kurt Russell the person who's actually killed in Kurt Russell's car is of course Rose McGowan. But he comes up to her in an icy hot jacket. But so you have the fire and ice again.
Oh, jeez.
And all of those individuals.
And so he's Snake, right? He's Snake and fucking Escape from New York or whatever. But then the eye patch thing is something that I just can't quite get over.
Well, you know, Odin.
Snake. Right. In your pants. You'll figure it out.
Right. Was the thing. Okay, go for it.
Sorry, I didn't mean to say
Odin's
that.
Odin's licked from ice. Did you know that? Odin, the one-eyed god, is supposedly birthed by being licked by a cow from an ice block.
Oh, wow. Okay, so in the film Metropolis, the moment where the robot agrees to do the master of Metropolis's bidding towards the workers to basically control the workers, there's this moment where she winks at him and she just like holds this wink with this like super sadistic smile. That's why the Lady Gaga fucking covering one eye all the time, that's where it came from for her, even though it has deeper occult significance of the crossover from one eye to one side of the brain and one eye to the other. You know,
in Metropolis, that guy's job, you know, he has a job where he has to deal with that wheel. He always has to move the hands on the clock.
Which is then taken as a metaphor for time, because it's showing the time passing. They're communicating that time is passing, and he has to be there for 10 hours. So 10 rounds or whatever, but
10 is,
no.
Of course, the Wheel of Fortune, right?
Right.
If you look closely at the left corner of that wheel, there's a little, what do you call it, a little pointer thing. There's a little arrow that's like going back and forth a little bit, but it stays generally in the same spot. And if you just look at it objectively, you can see that it spells out the Hebrew word yod. Or if you spell out the Hebrew letter yod, you get, you know, you spell it out with a yod and a dalet. And so, and that literally means hand. And so the mediator between the mind and the hand must be the heart is what's emphasized. And this is why You Ate My Heart, you know, You Ate My Heart, which is the song, the Fae Monster.
I
which
heart
is
Huckabees.
What they do. Yeah, exactly.
Just said, I fuck Harkabees.
No, she said Fuckabees.
Fuckabees.
So this was something, you know, Jake Kotze had done the whole, like, you know, 9/11 Stargate and it's Snake Plissken coming onto the, you know, Twin Towers and all this sort of stuff, right? Like, this is Kurt Russell. He's focusing on Kurt Russell. But when I was talking to Andras, one of my first conversations with Andras, we ended up getting onto that subject, and he's like, I don't understand why no one ever made the connection that Snake Plissken, so Kurt Russell's character is named Snake, but he flies onto the Twin Towers. Well, what is the flying serpent if not Quetzalcoatl?
Totally. Which is the highest and the lowest together. That's the whole
point. Yeah, exactly.
So I think Richard Aerosmith.
Explain that.
Richard Aerosmith.
Quetzalcoatl is the
video.
Highest and the lowest. It's the union of.
Okay,
divine
this,
and
if you
he's crucified on a Actually, cross, too. He's crucified on an X.
Bill, look at the Mexican flag. If you look at the Mexican flag, what you see is a very classic image, which is an eagle battling a serpent. and the serpent, as it crawls across the land, represents, you know, the world of earthly matters, and the eagle is obviously in the air. So we have this idea of this sort of conflict between the earthly matters and the heavenly matters. But the flying serpent, the feathered serpent, is the union of those two together.
Yeah, that
the serpent
sense.
Is the lowest of the low. It crawls on its belly.
Go ahead. It's the most cunning of all the creatures in the garden, but it's also the most naked. Because it's shedding its skin, it's always basically taking its clothing off and becoming more and more and more naked. So you could also look at the idea that us, you know, taking those towers down or doing anything of the sort is, in a sense, shedding our skin. And so it's probably, like, on some level, for some people, it's considered a reconciliation of the matter, because they're like, oh, we're just becoming more refined or whatever. But
it's dance. It's the dance of the seven veils.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Well, you guys, I don't know how much longer you want to go for. I know it's really late for you, Alan. This is a stimulating conversation, but at some point I should at least take off.
We're nearing 3 hours, so that's,
It's 2:47 a.m. I worked 12-hour shift before this, and it's fucking spring. I don't know.
I want to thank you guys for inviting me on, though. It kind of was a little bit herky-jerky in us getting together, but it seems to have worked quite well. And
Well, isn't Will Morgan joining us next week as well?
I don't know. Will Morgan might.
What do you think, Will Morgan?
It's funny, man. Everybody always says my whole entire name. Will Morgan seems to be some kind of weird catchphrase that everybody at work says 24/7. But
it's actually a magical incantation.
We should just call this podcast The Morgan Affair.
I love it, yeah.
Hey, what is it? Love, love is the law, love under Will Morgan?
Do what thou wilt, Morgan.
I need to ask you a question, Will Morgan. We probably only scratched the surface, but I know there was a lot of things that you wanted to bring up, that you've been listening to Always Record, and there are things you wanted to bring up with both Bill and David. Is there anything here, I'm sure there's a long list, but is there anything you'd like to address before we go that you wanted
I've actually kind of snuck a bunch of that in. Like, there's so much that we've gotten in that I don't want to really... I mean, I brought up a lot of the Philip K. Dick stuff that I wanted to with Bill. There's a lot of the Red and Blue and the Beauty and the Beast stuff that I got out with David, so I feel pretty good about it. I mean, you and I, Alan, talk often, so a lot of this stuff you and I have already covered. But
yeah, but it's nice to have it sort of on the record, if you will, or just part of the bigger conversation, because it's huge. It's an awesome contribution that you're bringing to this, and it's an absolute pleasure to be able to have this be part of the show. So I really appreciate it, man.
Well, yeah, if you want to do a late night part two,
I have next week off. So if we do next week, I could probably make it. I think on Thursday next week, I'm actually heading into the mountains at around 4 in the afternoon. So, I mean, maybe we could do something before. But I also have, 42 minutes with Alan next week as well for Tuesday. We're going to be talking about your new book. That's why I said you better not let all the cats out of the bag.
I don't know what I'm trying to say. It's like it's not a deal for me. It's like I just want to talk. Basically, I just want to talk about this stuff. For me, that's what's exciting. I felt like, since I knew Bill wanted to bring up the Higgs boson, I just sort of had to throw that out there. It's hard to explain some of this stuff without referring to the book, but it's what I want to. I hope what you guys understand is that there's a reason I'm doing this book. Isn't to do a book. It's because I went down this rabbit hole so fucking deep, and it's like, and I've been saying for the last year, oh my god, this is, you know, this, check out this wheel. And it's like, everyone's like, what the fuck is this guy doing on a fucking wheel? And it's like, no, the fucking wheel, you know, it's like, or stupid shit like that. So, I'm glad that, I feel like I've conveyed those sort of more abstract syncs, and I definitely know that you guys are hip to that. And there's something else that's amazing, is like, I was talking to this other guy who's pitching a book to us for Sync Book Press, and I was talking to him last night, and it seems like we're all really focused on the strength card. There's something really, really, really drawing us to this particular node, that it's a big part of what I'm doing for Suicide Kings. Will, it's a big part of what you've done for your Beating the Beast studies, which you keep coming back to, and I'm so glad you do, because I think it's amazing. And it's something that we all talk about here pretty regularly. And it just seems to be a really, really important node right now. And obviously not just now. I mean, this is probably why Crowley repositioned it so that, you know, to sort of center it around it and things like, you know, all these different things we could go into. But I'm glad we got to sort of, even this was sort of rapid fire sharing notes about this stuff.
0077.
Yeah.
Just take out the 077. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I became obsessed with JFK at the beginning of this year, so I can't wait to read the book.
I'm really how close are you, Alan?
It's hard to say. I mean, I had to take basically 2.5-3 months off for this whole life shit happening, and then there was a definite pause when I was working on Sync Book 2. So I have gotten back to it since in the last few weeks. Now that I'm settled back in, I have started working on it again, and I was able to make some small progress in like a week in January. But it's basically, I'm back on track to where I was, and I'm really happy to get back into it. But what's so funny to me is like, here I am trying to have this thing put out, and then the fucking Pope resigns, and the fucking Higgs boson, and I'm like, I'm sort of frustrated. It's like sort of like, I wished this book was out so I could say, this is what this means. This is exactly what I've been spending the last year writing about. You know, the fact that the fucking lightning bolt hits the fucking Vatican, the fact that he fucking, you know, resigns, and it's in connection with the Ferris wheel, Google, just like, he actually resigns at like 7:07 that Roman time or something, some stupid shit like that. Like, so you have your 77. It's like, it's retarded. Like, it's so there, and it's like
over the top.
I started working on a blog post to describe it, and I was like, what the fuck? I'm doing a whole book to describe it. Like, I'm just to have put so much context into it is kind of frustrating. So I started recording like an audio piece. I was going to drop it. We didn't end up doing Always Record that week, and I was like, you know, I'll just record my own audio or something and just try and get some of this material out there. Because it's sort of like blue balls. It's like, not like I feel like I have this great understanding, like, oh, I can explain this, but essentially, this is exactly what I'm talking about. And particularly when I see people, you know, it's not, I don't mean within the Sync community, but people who are responding one way or the other, either that they, you know, oh, this means this or whatever, the sort of political aspects of it. And I knew there was something really big that was happening, and I'm just sort of like sitting there going like, oh, I hope I can get this book out in time. Something big. And then it's just like, well, I'm just going to say, hey, everyone, pay attention. This month is going to be fucking crazy. And it's amazing is really how unprecedented this is. Like, we're in such a modern point, I know, like, on a personal level, I couldn't give a shit if they have three fucking popes up there or whatever they do. Like, it really doesn't matter to me. But on the scale of, like, a historical context, that's pretty fucking huge. Like, and it particularly be followed up by a fucking Higgs boson. I liked what you put on Facebook. But yeah, particularly this idea of this sort of changing of the guard. Not that I'm a big fan of, you know, materialist science either. That's a church all to itself. But I don't want one. This is unfortunately, this is the other aspect of Suicide Kings that's a little more. I hope it's not personal politics, but it's certainly how I see things. Is here come, you know, this idea of the king kill, this death and rebirth. What often happens is, you know, meet the new boss, same as the old boss. So essentially, that you would have the death knell of the Roman Catholic Church, and at the same time, the rise of the scientific church, like so explicitly, so fucking explicitly. The Pope steps down and they step up. We found God. Science found God. The Pope's done.
Doesn't the Higgs boson, and this could probably filter into the follow-up to this, but what I'm gathering is that the Higgs boson is the culmination of mathematical formula that predicted its existence, and it's saying that faith is real, science is real. It's just a matter of how you observe it. So our method is science, our aim is religion. It's all come home. It kills the church, it kills science, but it resurrects them both at the same instant that the blade hits their throat.
And except that we're doing the same thing for a few billion dollars cheaper.
Yeah.
They're saying if we really think, if we really, really look for something, we can find it. We can find fucking anything. We really look for it, and then we have faith that it's there. Boom, we're going to find this thread, and we're going to find this existence of a connection to everything. Well, guess what? I can charge you, I'll charge you $19 for a sync book. Yeah. You know, it's a hell of a lot cheaper than a fucking Large Hadron Collider.
Yeah. Yo, do you hear what they're selling on Amazon? They got sync books.
But funny, I love... Go ahead, David.
Well, I was just happened to look at Facebook for a second, and I see my best friend growing up. I have a message from his brother saying, my brother docked in Florida today after spending 3 weeks at sea with the CEO of Amazon recovering the jet engines from Apollo's first moon landing. So this just went up today. It's pretty funny.
Wait, did you say Amazon, Apollo, jet engines?
The CEO of Amazon recovering the jet engines from Apollo's first moon landing. Weird.
Bizarre.
Yeah, kind of bizarre.
I fold.
Yeah, for
yeah,
real.
I fold too.
All right. Guys. You guys, right. I sent you a little link. I just put out a new video today.
Hell yeah.
Oh, really?
Get the hell out of
exciting.
Here.
Get the fuck yeah. out, dude. You didn't even say anything. Look at that.
Yeah, you're all sitting here all like just quiet, like, oh, I like always record. What is that shit?
I don't know. You might want to watch it at ASAP too, because I don't know. I think it's already been hit for. It's already been hit for copyright infringement, but.
Oh shit!
But it's up. It's up.
Okay.
But
it has a lot to do with fire and ice too, so you guys will enjoy it.
Cool. You smart little devil plugging your shit.
Yeah, see, bitch, you were like, "Is there anything you want to bring up, Will?" No, motherfucker, I brought that shit up.
I'll be sure to link this up on the. Yeah, exactly. So I'm crashing tonight. We'll upload this show tomorrow, and I'll be sure to link it up from the show notes.
Gentlemen, take your time. Like I said, it was a pleasure, and I'm not going to rush you for anything.
Always a pleasure, Will Morgan.
All right, and you, yeah. William Klaus. David. I haven't got to talk to you as much on a free forum like this, so it was a pleasure as well, homie.
Totally, yeah.
You guys,
David said he only had an hour tonight. He had a dinner obligation.
Yep, I changed that apparently, which is fine. Glad this is good.
So. Will, I hope you realize how much we love you. We're all like sitting here. I'm sitting here at 3 a.m. bloodshot eyes. My wife's in bed sleeping, mad at me, and
right. But my wife's probably mad at me too.
Yeah, exactly. So, but no, this was so fantastic. I'm really glad we do this. Talk to you soon, man.
All right, bye, guys.
Later on.
Bye.
Peace.